The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, I want you to listen carefully. 2 4/5 multiplied by 5/6 minus 14/15. All of that divided by 4 7/45 minus 4/11 of 1 1/9 plus 1 1/3. Okay, that's one question for you. The other one is, in what time will £253, 6 shillings and 8 pence amount to £298, 18 shillings and 8 pence at 4.5% simple interest? And I could give you a list of groceries, and then I will ask you to tot up the total and then give me 2.5% discount off. Now, would you find it difficult to do those kind of calculations? Well, these were the calculations that we expected 12-year-olds or even 11-year-olds to do in the primary certificate examination in 1962. And the reason I'm mentioning all of this is, of course, this is Maths Week, and we're joined by Oliver Murphy, author of Fundamental Applied Maths and co-author of Active Maths. Oliver, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we sent on the paper to you just to remind you of what it was like for those children in 1962, what they were expected to be able to do.
I sat down and did them myself, Pat.
They had to do 3 questions out of 5, and they had an hour.
They had an hour, which was plenty of time, I'd say. But they're very good questions because they're very searching. And actually, all the answers come out well and nicely if you do everything correctly. If you make a mistake, they're horrendously difficult. But even still, I mean, in those days, you had 20 shillings in a pound and 12 pence in a shilling. So it wasn't decimalized. Decimal point wasn't much use to you.
Yeah.
So to do those calculations, you were really up against it.
And then we didn't use the metric system because there's a question about find the value of 13 tons, 17 hundredweights and 2 quarts of coal at £9.10 per ton. So that's what they had to get their heads around.
Unbelievably difficult. And as well, they had to know how many hundredweight
in a ton.
Ton and how many quarters in a hundredweight, which I had forgotten. I do remember that there were 1,760 yards in a mile, which they still use in Britain. That's torture for children. But when in 1971, I remember being in fifth year in 1971, and they introduced the decimal system. They decimalized the pound, and the maths became so much easier overnight. But these were fantastic questions and so difficult. The students of our era would not be able to do such complicated questions.
So it brings us to the question of, given that this is Maths Week, whether or not the development of mathematical abilities in schools is appropriate. I mean, they'll say, look, calculators do all the heavy lifting now, in the same way as Dr. Google does a lot of stuff that you want to, you would have had to go to an encyclopedia for. You just go on your computer and you get the answer. I mean, is it that we shouldn't be wasting our brain power on knowing how to do these basic calculations, knowing the calculator can do it instantly?
No, Pat, that is completely wrong. Calculators bypass brain power. I was watching a program on BBC where they were on the brain. There have been brains on our planet for 520 million years. And it's a huge gift to have a brain. If you just give the calculator into the hands of children too young, all they do is become nimble at calculators and they bypass the thinking. For example, that question that you read out, they have to know the order in which those fractions have to be done. Brackets first, multiplications next, then top and bottom, and lastly, the division. They have to know that and use your brain to work out that. If you have a calculator in your hand, as they have nowadays, you just plug those all into the calculator and press equals, and you get the answer. But you don't know how it was got. And then, when you go on to more complex questions in which there are X's or unknowns where the calculator cannot do it, he can't get the square root of X, he can only get the square root of 144, they're snookered. And that's what happens in the Leaving Cert. The Leaving Cert is a challenging enough exam, but it's not as challenging as it was in 1962 or even 1972 when I did it.
It's interesting.
They don't know how to do it because they've learned, they've forgotten how to do calculations.
Now, the thrust of Project Maths is to get people to apply mathematics in their daily lives or to learn how mathematics does impinge on their daily lives. And question five, the fifth question of five in this 1962 primary cert paper is,
yes.
It costs £26.02 to put a fence around a square lawn at 1 shilling and 6 pence per foot. Find A, the length of the fence, and B, the area of the lawn in square yards. Now, that's very practical.
Yes. And I think that possibly in primary school, we could stretch our students a bit more when we teach that everything would be embedded in questions about real life. It's a huge advantage to students if they embed it. One, it makes it more interesting. Two, they see that it's relevant. And thirdly, you have to do the thinking. And again, using that brain, what piece of mathematics can I use to apply to this problem? Problem solving should be at every stage. When it's introduced, we have on the Leaving Cert, it's a major part of the course. And students find that the hardest and most challenging because I don't really think it's done enough all the way through primary and junior cert.
Now, teachers would probably say, look, we've enough to be doing at the moment with all the extra things that the Department of Education would like us to get a hold of. And then we have children with maybe special needs in the classroom or, you know, ADHD, all the stuff that maybe was ignored in times past, but now has to be taken care of. And they'd say, look, we welcome the fact that we can, you know, teach simpler mathematics than the kind of questions that in 1962 were the norm.
Well, special needs have two ends, Pat. Normal curve has two ends. And I think we neglect the top end in our country. In other words, the special needs of those who are gifted. There are a few things like the Mathematics Olympiad, in which the top end of people are stretched, they're brought to universities, they're given maths well beyond the Leaving Cert, and then six of them are chosen to represent our country every year. Next year it'll be in Shanghai at the International Maths Olympiad. I think it's very important at both ends. I think it's critically important to help those that have special needs at the ones that are struggling. But we must not forget, and every teacher in every classroom should remember that the ones who are gifted must be stretched. Otherwise, they just get bored. Yeah. And they get.
There are lots of comments coming in. The dumbing down isn't limited to maths. I teach French and English, and I've watched ideology replace knowledge. English teachers resisted by going on strike, and they kept their standards. French didn't. And now sixth years arrive to my revision courses, knowing almost nothing. This outcome was inevitable. Equality at the expense of real learning. That's from Kian Hogan. Another one says, it's not just maths. It's been done down. My dad was in primary school in the 1930s, and they read and discussed Shakespeare plays in school in Dunmore in Galway. They read King Lear when he was in fifth class. They also learned a vast amount of English and Irish poetry off by heart, as I did in school in the 1970s. To Autumn, My Dark Rosaline, Tá Tiernan Óg Ar Chúl An Tí, and even Ban Sléibhe Ag Cuine A Mhic, all poems we learnt in fifth class and can still mostly recite, not to mention so many songs. The challenges are greater now. The curriculum is too broad and teachers have so many extra things to fit in, not to mention rapidly falling attention spans and, dare I say it, more fragile children.
Yes, I think I have a lot of Chinese students in one of the classes that I teach at the moment. And they, when they're in primary school, are stretched. On Thursday, they have the 100 question for 1 hour. And everybody does it. And the challenge is not to beat the other kids in the classroom. I think we're terrified in this country of anything that smacks of competition. But the challenge is just to do better each week. And there are no calculators allowed. 100 questions. You never get the 100 questions done in the hour. And it's set up by the government. A really fantastic challenge. And it's just really for fun in some ways.
It's so it's fun, but also you're monitoring how much you're improving week on week. I did 60 last week. This week I did 62 or 67.
Exactly. And I have a Russian book. And on the first page, it's for first year mathematics. On the first page of it, here's one of the questions. My cat Flossie sneezes every time it's going to rain. I'm going out to the shops now and Flossie has just sneezed. Do I need an umbrella?
Hmm.
Now, that's a stunning question, because if you're from Cork, then you're an Irishman. Doesn't mean if you're from Ireland, then you're from Cork. If A implies B, B does not imply A. And that's what that question is about. If Flossie has sneezed, it doesn't mean it's going to rain. But if it's going to rain, Flossie sneezes. So the answer is you don't necessarily need an umbrella. But that's a very subtle thing to be given to kids in first year. But they're stretching their kids. They're making them think if A implies B, then B does not imply A. But we don't do it. We don't stretch them.
Oliver, an interesting conversation, which has certainly prompted a lot of reaction from our listeners. But for the moment, given it's Maths Week, I say thank you very much for joining us. Oliver Murphy, author of Fundamental Applied Maths and co-author of Active Maths.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.